Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are doing this every Tuesday. They need to come hang out with Mooch and the missus.
That is called fascism. Okay, he is a fascist leader.
He's his own worst enemy. He's creating his own problems. You know, he's like one of those people who can't get out of their own way.
I don't want to be one of those Trump haters.
Okay,
I just want to make...
Everyone is a product of their upbringing and their personal loyalties. I'm a human being, and I probably got overtaken by the excitement of him winning.
The minute you called me to say, boom, as soon as I got that, boom, I called you right back.
Anyway, you lose the argument. All the ladies out there.
My mother's like, why are you cursing so much? I'm like, Ma... Where do you think I learned it from?
We do this podcast. I go into the city. We have dinners together or we'll travel. We spend time to be together as a couple and a family and as business partners. And I feel like it really helps us.
You still love me?
I do.
Okay,
do you still love me?
Very much.
Okay. I don't know if you have,
very much my liberal, hot wife.
You just got done telling me not to touch the microphone and I grabbed it. Hi, everybody. It's Mrs. Mooch alone in the studio. Mr. Mooch is in Abu Dhabi doing our SALT conference, Middle East style. Not to be confused with Gangnam style. And I'm here with Uncle Neil, our producer.
Uncle Neil.
Hey!
And we'll have sound bites of Anthony so that we don't miss him too terribly.
We'll make an appearance of sorts.
So yeah, and he won't even know it.
Dragging their testicles on the floor.
He's definitely not talking like that this week. Or else he'll come back with no testicles.
He is not in mooch mode this week, as we say. It's his alter ego.
He's in whatever place he goes to in his mind to do television and conduct real business. So that's what he's doing right now.
I was talking about CNBC. He looked good. He was in his business mindset.
I didn't see anything.
Yeah, he was talking about Bloomberg on CNBC. That's the video that came on Twitter.
Okay.
He was
Maybe
asked
I
by Mayor Bloomberg.
Google him so I could pretend that I know.
You can't even keep track of him.
I mean, it's impossible. I can't. I really can't. But people tell me what they see. I just went to the bank to cash a check and they were like, oh, the Scaramucci? I'm like, oh my God. Yes, the Scaramucci.
This nose makes me very horny.
Oh my God. Well, don't.
Who's sending that soundbite?
The good news is I went through all the trouble of getting my nose done and it looks exactly the same as it did before. So.
But you're breathing better?
Yeah. I'm breathing.
Because that was the real purpose.
Well, that
of
was the real purpose, but I was like, let me make it a little bit smaller, and it's not. So here we are.
I don't think you needed it.
Well, I don't know about that. Check out the comments on Twitter. It's like Gonzo, Pinocchio, horse face, whatever.
Horse anyway. Isn't that Stormy Daniels?
Yeah, they call her that too.
Well, Trump did.
Yeah, but she doesn't look like a horse. She's like attractive.
I'm not going there.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, I don't think she's unattractive. I met her in person.
Oh, you did meet her in person.
In person, she's like actually really cute. She's short.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of petite. The only thing not petite about her are her bombs.
Right.
Yeah, they're kind of, they don't really, they're disproportionate.
You are fake news.
Her boobs are disproportionate to the rest of her, but she's cute and nice and tells the truth. And I like that. So, anyway, Anthony is kicking booty over there. And then I'm meeting him in Italy for a wedding.
Oh, nice.
He's the best man in
the
wedding.
Who's getting married?
A couple that we've been friends with. I guess we always thought they were married. And then...
then you found out they weren't.
And then we got the wedding invitation. Yeah. I was like, wait, what? I don't know. So they are getting married for real. I guess they were married in some way, shape, or form before. But now they're officially getting married. And we're going to Rome. So that'll be fun at Christmas time.
That's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. As always, I hate leaving my kids, but
I know.
I get major anxiety, but...
Well, that's why you're not in Abu Dhabi. You want to hang out with James and Nikki and They look like they're happy. They were at saw the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center.
Yeah,
last
over
weekend.
The weekend, right before Anthony flew out, we went to see Lion King with them, and
did Anthony hold baby Mooch up?
Yeah,
and the whole Lion King thing
beamed on him, and his big curly afro, his missing tooth.
Gotta love those curls.
They're funny. Did you see the picture with it? I mean, the video of him jumping on the trampoline? Yes. In slow motion?
In slow mo.
The ringlets. It's unbelievable footage. So I had to share that with the world.
It's exclusive content right there.
It was crazy. That hair is out of control. So that was actually supposed to be a Christmas present. And so I have my Amazon shipments go to an undisclosed location so I can go wrap them there.
Right.
And, you know, because Nikki is smart and he's five and he's totally with it, so I can't have the boxes come to our house anymore.
So he starts opening the package.
He gets the scissor and he opens the boxes. He thinks he's being helpful, actually.
Yeah,
but it's not helpful at Christmas time. No. So I had shipped all that stuff to another place. Something happened, the lines got crossed, and they sent the trampoline to our house. So they dropped it right on the front steps, and they didn't have it in a brown box. It was just the box that the trampoline comes in with a picture and the kids jumping on it. So they were like, oh my God, Mom, we got a trampoline. Oh my God. So I told them.
Santa delivered early.
Well, no, I said that was probably for somebody else, but I'll call Amazon and we'll keep it, quote unquote.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And so then we built it and they've been jumping on it ever since. But it's good for them because in the winter, it's hard to get outside. So they like to just jump up and down on that thing.
Maybe it's good exercise. Just got to watch them.
But then somebody wrote to me, you know, your kid's cute and all, but I read something that if they jump up and down on a trampoline at a young age, it's bad for their spine. There's always like a buzzkill.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Know. Well, you know what, though? Let kids be kids. I mean, when I was younger, I didn't really play video games. I did once in a while, but...
I mean, oh, no, when you were little.
They just started coming. Well, yeah. You know, I'm really 80 years old, current Anthony, right? 24, 80 year old, yeah. Mm-hmm. And no, but when I was growing up, it was you play with your friends outside. You know, we would have a catch, play football, you know, play basketball. It wasn't video games and the phones. And I hate the phone. If I could put it away for a day, I'm happy.
I hate the phone. And I hate that my kids like the phone. And but yeah, I had a friend, my best friend from high school came over on Sunday, and she has three kids. And our kids actually played outside. And I was so excited because they were like running around. They came inside. They were frozen, had red cheeks and runny noses, and that's how it should be.
Of course.
Right? So, and then we made gingerbread houses, and that was an epic
fail. Extended tradition?
Epic fail. No, this was the first year I've ever done it because, I mean, Nick's five. Last year he was too little to do it.
Yeah.
But his actually came out pretty good, but it's just
hard
a big
to
mess.
Put up.
It's a big mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never again.
It's a little messy, but that's good.
So,
it's a fun time of year for the kids.
Yeah. Anthony, I love Christmas. Our house is decked out. We have, every year we get a tree that we call Henry for our front lawn, and it's literally akin to that of the Rock Center
really?
Tree.
That big?
It's big. And we get it from, where do we get it from? I think we get it from New Hampshire. Every year we get one. Hmm. And I'll post a picture of it after this. And we get colored lights, and we get a big star on top, and we have just music outside of our house. We're like the Griswolds. So
yeah, Anthony's probably like the Griswolds.
He is obsessed with Christmas. He even put this ridiculous thing in our bathroom. And I'm telling him, and this is where the practical side of me comes in. I'm like, that's so gross. Like, that's not sanitary. It's like a cotton Santa face over the toilet bowl. And then there's like a mat that hugs the... The toilet.
I have
put
a tattoo on my ass that says exit only.
Yeah, that's true. True story. Anyway, it's just this thing that decorates the toilet bowl. And I'm like, we're potty training and boys and yuck. But I've already washed it a few times.
Is that beard still white?
Yeah. No, it's like one of those dogs, you know, that drools a lot in, around their mouth. It used to be white, but it's now brownish yellow. That's what it's like. But I'm very OCD, so it's been washed.
As long as he's not strapping grandma to the roof of the car, I think you're good.
No, my poor mom or his mom. No, not yet. But it's only December 10th, so.
It's true. We got a long way to go.
So I don't know what the Trumps are thinking about Christmas or what they're focusing on, but did you watch any of the...
Christmas is back, you know. We can say Merry Christmas again.
I know. And I always
said
it.
Does that feel good?
I never stop saying it.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, even if you have friends who are Jewish or whatever,
It's just the time of year. It's not like I'm actually wishing them to have a Merry Christmas, like right. where they need to go to church and, you know,
one of my best
God.
Friends is Jewish. I say Merry Christmas to him. He says Happy Hanukkah to me. I mean, you know.
Oh, or you can do that. Yeah, I mean, I think it's
I
more
think you
just
say
like
your
a,
holiday.
What?
Say your holiday.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he could say Happy Hanukkah. Yeah. Some people say, like, around Rosh Hashanah, they say Happy New Year to me, or they would. I don't care. I say great, you know.
But, you know, people get triggered by every little thing.
Triggered by Donald
Trump. Donald J. Trump Jr. Yeah. writes. Are you? Is that
sales.
On your Christmas book list?
Oh, yeah. I'm buying it in bulk just so he could be number one on the New York Times bestseller list for week two.
Sure, Anthony's read it because he reads like 5 books a week.
I'm sure. And he just likes, he reads, you know, what's the word? It's like intel for him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he reads, even if he hates the, which he doesn't hate Donald Trump Jr., but even if he doesn't like the person or care for the person's personality or politics, he reads the book anyway.
Yeah.
Because he just likes to read and he likes to be.
Well, it's good to know both sides and to be able to. Yeah. And you and Anthony's very bipartisan in the fact that he listens to people, he's willing to debate people. We don't have that in today's world anymore. If you disagree, they're all, you know, the other side mm-hmm. is, you know, they're clowns or whatever. So.
Oh my God. I almost just dropped my hot chocolate on the board. Bad. Did you see that?
Trying to get me into trouble here?
Christ.
I mean, I know we're moving to Skybridge soon, but...
Lord have mercy. I'm very clumsy. Very clumsy.
The flannel looks good, by the way. I got to pull an Anthony and compliment you.
Oh, thank you. I just, like, I'm wearing a bum outfit. I don't look so great today, but it's okay.
No, you like, you know, you're like cozy, but
I'm
it's festive.
I'm like Christmas, cozy, yeah. festive.
Right.
So while I was waiting for an hour for the doctor this morning, great healthcare system in the United States, I watched the... impeachment inquiry.
Shifty Schiff.
Yeah. And Jerry Nadler. Jerry?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know somebody.
Gerald.
Gerald. Yeah. Do people call him Jerry?
Yeah. Most people call him Jerry.
Or geriatric.
We refer to him as Jerry on the air at WCBS. But I've heard Gerald if people don't know who he is.
Oh.
You know, right. if he's not a, because he's
Geraldo.
A local guy.
Not Geraldo.
Geraldo.
Only when he Geraldo. Goes to Spain. So, yeah, I watched that, and so obviously Trump is being accused of or charged with 2 articles of impeachment.
Right.
So, you know, one being the whole Ukrainian bribery, abuse of power thing, and then the obstruction of Congress. I guess he's holding back witnesses.
Who hasn't obstructed Congress? So that was my question, like, Obama obstructed Congress. He didn't want to work with Congress
after a
while.
Well, that's the problem with the two-party system.
Yeah.
It's like you need someone to break the chain. You can't have this one against the other. It's like you're in this stagnant form of fighting where nothing can get done.
Yeah, so. And I guess that's why, you know, that's probably why the founders wanted it that way, was to have balance of power and that you would go back and forth. But the thing is that with the two-party system, that we just have Congress, if they're Democratic or Republican, and the president is the opposite party, they're just going to fight over every single policy, and you're not going to enact any legislation in modern day, because with cable news and social media, you're just a horrible person if you're the the other
well,
side.
That's the thing. So how does that change? How does that stop? How does it end? Because as far as I know, you know, none of social media and all that, none of that's going away.
It's not.
And the 24-hour news cycle. I actually saw that Shep Smith is gone. He's leaving Fox. Yep. And
Bill Hemmer's taking over.
Bill Hemmer's taking over. And I guess he just couldn't do the Fox thing anymore. So I'm curious to see if he lands somewhere else, because he gave up a big contract to leave.
Oh, what? Tens of millions of dollars.
I think it was like $13 million or something.
It'd be interesting. So, I don't know what his reasoning is. You know, I've had conversations with Shep in the past. He's a normal guy, but obviously he just tells it the way it is, and he has no problem calling someone a liar. And I think a lot of journalists debate, do I go, you know, flat out and say somebody's a liar, or do I kind of massage it, claiming, whatever. So he's one to just, you know, pick a fight if he has to.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of reporting used to be, well, just straight facts. Then it weaved a little bit of personality into it. So if you didn't necessarily agree with something, you could kind of spin it, you know, like Matt Lauer used to inject some of his own personality or opinion into the
interview. Is there a button under my desk?
Oh my God. Did you read Catch and Kill?
I didn't. It's on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah, you read it?
I did. And
He's got a podcast now with Entercom, by the way.
I just downloaded it.
Oh, okay.
On the way here in the car. Because now that I've read it, it's interesting. You know, he interviews a lot of the people he spoke about in the book. And
how they squash the entire Weinstein story.
It's just crazy. So, you know, and then with anything, like with anything, people are saying that he made that all of that up, like, or that none of that's true, or it's all, you know, exaggerated. It's not. You know what I mean? There are police files and on and on and on. But life comes back at you. I saw a picture of Harvey Weinstein this week, and he looks like absolute ASS.
Oh, he looks like crap.
He looks 100 years old.
Everyone gets what they have coming to them.
Yeah,
you know, if you're a you know, a jackass, you're just, it's going to come back to you at some point.
I agree.
You know, you got to treat people with respect. It's the golden rule.
I agree. I totally agree. So
so on the impeachment stuff, are you watching that? Because obviously, and it was funny because somebody here commented on a picture of James who's watching the impeachment. I guess the TV was on the impeachment. And, you know, somebody had put a great caption
more like
on there.
Spider-Man, but either way.
Well, either way, his face was horrified.
Right.
Are you even watching this or can you not take it?
No, I don't watch. Well, first of all, I don't have time. Second of all... I'll watch it. It's like people that watch the Super Bowl. If it ever comes to something where it's actually legitimately moving forward, I'll pay more attention. I mean, I obviously read the news every morning just to see what goes on in life and to be up, you know, on politics and news. But no, I'm not sitting down and watching it. That would be crazy. I mean, I did a little bit. We were in Turks and Caicos and it was raining and it was on. So I watched.
You're on vacation watching the impeachment hearings.
C-SPAN. But
sounds about right for Anthony.
Yeah, he was obsessed. So we watched a little, but I mean, it's just, it's too much for the average Joe.
I know.
So
it's hard for me, honestly. It's hard for me to follow. It's so inside baseball. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I get lost after a certain amount of time. I'm like, all right, I need the Cliff's Notes on this. So it's not that we can't understand it. It's just that a lot of it isn't in our language. So, I'm following it. We'll see what happens. But I don't ever think anything can really come to fruition or to a head because there's no way the Republicans will allow it.
No, the Senate's going to acquit it. And I know Anthony's been vocal about having, you know, Republicans having courage. Do you think it's a matter of that? Or do you think this may set a bad precedent for future presidents, whoever it may be? Because Democrats railed against the impeachment of Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Now Republicans are railing against the impeachment of Trump. It just seems like it's an overly political process, and we have an election in a year.
I wish I could answer you clearly. The problem with all of this is that I'm so damn confused, and I don't know what's real, what's not real, who's doing this for political purposes, what's a fact, what's a fake news tidbit. Like, I don't know. I cannot dig through all of the weeds. And so I'm just hoping that the system comes through for us so that there's justice either way. I don't need the president to be impeached if he didn't do anything wrong. And if he did, then he should. So I hope that the process plays out in a way that it was intended to and written. You know,
right.
I'm actually impressed by the foresight of the founding fathers to come up with this. But I guess they knew enough about man and psychology, not man as in man, but human beings.
Right. Well, you got to say, you know, man, woman, what
child,
other genders do we have?
Whatever. Yeah.
forms.
Right, whatever. Nondescript. Right.
Binary or whatever.
So, yeah, that's a new thing. I was filling out forms for my mom the other day at a doctor's office and it said, what did it say?
Like sex gender conforming
birth.
Or whatever.
No, gender on license or something. It was weird.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's gotten to a point that it's just so wacky.
Or current gender.
You could be whatever you want, you know?
That's
fine. Could be a coffee cup.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to be.
Neil the coffee cup.
Yeah, filled with caffeine.
Oh, whatever makes people happy, as long as they're nice to each other.
Can we talk about sex at some point?
Oh, and I mean, there's none of that going on.
Oof.
Yeah, none of
no
that.
No collusion.
None. So, we'll see what goes on with that, but I don't know. And then you have the Inspector General's report. That's a whole different thing on Russia. And
came out yesterday.
I can't deal with any of that either.
Again, like inside baseball, there's no way for people who just read tweets and just read headlines. There's no way to follow that, you know. And this is, you know, another 300-page report showing
and it's all
that,
in legalese and all this.
Right. And frankly, like, you're like, and
we'll
this
have
is
to have
why
the smart person, the Mooch, break it down for us when he comes
I'm
back.
I'm sure he's doing it on his trip. I'm sure everybody's asking him about it. But, you know, and he probably read the report already. You know, for you, and this is why it's a, you know, this podcast works, because you go about your daily business, you're raising kids, you don't have time for this crap. And I don't think regular Americans can follow it. So it's going to come down to an election that hopefully turn out as high. I wish voting was mandatory. And that was a conversation on this podcast at one point. But people are going to decide what platform they want. And I just don't see people voting for somebody because they voted for impeachment or against impeachment. I feel like it's going to come down to your wallet. I think it always does.
It's the economy. If you have a job, and then some of people's values come into play, not as it relates to impeachment, but I mean,
usually like abortion.
Right.
In middle of America, they're really
religious values come into play in many parts of the country. You know, the coasts are different, but I think it's a different world inside, you know, the middle of the country, and people value different things. And so I think that's what they're going to vote on, not on this.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
And Anthony asks every week, so I'll ask you, what is your outlook right now on the Democratic Party? Bloomberg's now running. Is there somebody that stands out to you?
Well, I love Michael Bloomberg. I don't think, you know, I was a big Biden advocate before, but over the past few months, I know just by observing him from afar that there's absolutely no way that he could do the job at this point. I think he's just out to lunch, kind of.
Right.
And, you know, that happens with age or whatever, and that's fine. He served this
sleepy
country.
Guy.
Well, I don't need to be mean to him at all. I'll leave that to DJT, but I think he served this country. I think he was a patriot. I think they dig up stuff on everybody. So we've learned that, you know, maybe he was a little bit shady here and there. I don't know. But in terms of his age and just his lack of sharpness at this point, I wouldn't be voting
so many gaffes. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, he makes so many mistakes.
Yeah, I can't get with that, because you have to be really on point, honestly. You do. It's the most important job in the world,
especially when their biggest claim against Trump is that he's not with it, that he's erratic,
right? And he seems so, with it compared to Biden
100%. And with Biden and Bloomberg are two moderates on that stage. And they clearly don't want a moderate. I mean, the base is very liberal. And, you know, you're a Democrat. You're not a liberal, though.
No.
You know, and that's, you're an old-fashioned Democrat, which there are some of those left. And I think that's probably a majority of the country is middle-of-the-road Democrat or Republican. But the way our age plays with social media and everything, it's the extremes. Mm-hmm. It's the loudest voices in the room. That doesn't bode well for the future of the country. Mm-hmm. If it's you have the loudest voice, okay. Then you're the president.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. We need people who are going to enact smart policies. You could be liberal on certain things, but we should all agree that capitalism, that we're a capitalist society. I mean, look how bad socialism
is. Well, that would be nice, but that will never happen.
But I feel like that's an American ideal from our founding. You shouldn't be allowed to be socialist.
There are a lot of people that don't feel that way. There are a lot of people, and I know a lot of them personally, that don't, they can't get with that. They don't believe that there should be haves and have-nots. They don't believe in, like, the military. They don't believe, there are some people that are like that. And I understand a certain amount of where they're coming from on certain things. But from someone who's seen my parents provide such a nice life for us, and then all of our, you know, their kids notch it up a bit, that's how America should be. You know
right.
what I mean? There should be room for growth and work hard and make some money.
That's exactly how I feel.
And I don't know why there's this new thing where everybody hates on anybody who's made any money. They assume they've done it in a nefarious way, which is not true. But that's the new thing. So,
yeah, to me, hard work pays off. And you don't have a victim mentality. I feel like so many people have this victim mentality that, you know, oh, well, I'll never be great. Well, if you have that attitude, you're not going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you need to just work your ass off.
Well, that's the deal.
That's our country.
That's the deal. So, and I know that a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
So, but that's a whole nother story. So, I know the other sad and tragic thing that I was thinking about today was the shooting in Pensacola.
Mm.
So I'm just, and also last week in Pearl Harbor.
I know.
And Anthony and I just visited Pearl Harbor. And we got to meet the civilians that work on the base, and we got to meet some of the military that live and work there. And I mean, it's weird when you've just left a place for something like that to happen there, yeah. Like right where you were, you know, where you were. And now this Pensacola thing, and I don't get it. Like, I don't get why. This is like some of the stuff that Trump is talking about, where we are played for the fool sometimes. I don't know the details of the deal, but it seems that we have people here, like Saudi nationalists or from other countries, and we're training them at our naval bases. And,
yeah, or 852 Saudi nationals are in military training here in the U.S.
Right. And so I get that we want to have, you know, good foreign policy and we want to work with other countries, but I'm just not sure what that deal was, because I personally, still, as somebody who was, you know, working and kind of an adult already during 9/11, I know some of those people, you know, they trained to be pilots and then they became radicalists. And I'm not sure what the end game is there, but
yeah, well,
I don't want to say too much because I don't know really enough about it. I'd have to ask somebody, but.
Well, and that's initially what jogged my memory is, you know, we trained people that committed attacks on our country. I don't know why we do this military training. And there have been a lot of political experts saying, well, we need this for national security. I haven't really heard a good reason why. I'm not an expert on it, so I'm not going to say one way or another, but. You know, we have this terrible tragedy. We have families, victims, you know, families from 9/11 who are currently suing Saudi Arabia to get information on whether or not they were involved in, you know, and pushed this attack on 9/11. And they deserve to know. And I would like that to be released. I would like transparency on it. They deserve that. So it's all classified. But you would think, you know, the biggest tragedy in our country that we would have transparency 20 years later, and we don't. I really don't understand this program, and there have been some calls to pause it, let's figure out what's going on. But dealing with the Middle East, and, you know, Anthony's there now, and I know there's a lot of business there.
It's a sticky situation.
Business and politics is tricky.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it's actually something I'm going to try to figure out and look into and see what the deal is with this situation, because it's just, yeah, it's interesting, but sad tragic. And now we've lost three, right? Americans.
Yes.
And young.
And they're young. And, you know, and there was one hero who emerged from, or, I mean, there were several heroes, but one about my age, was he 23 or 22, 23 years old, so a year younger than me. And he, you know, told first responder he was shot. And while he's bleeding and he died, he's telling first responders where the shooter is.
Yeah.
I mean, incredible acts of courage. But this has nothing to do with gun control. This is like this is terrorism, people in our country.
National security.
Yeah.
This is not gun control. This is national security.
And if this happened a week before the election, that changes and impacts the election, because people are going to vote with what's in their mind at the time.
Right. So. But this is a policy under the current administration. So I don't know when it was put in place, but it's still going on. So
I don't know.
But again, I don't think Congress is doing anything, getting anything done, because we're so busy focused on nonsense. So.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And speaking of nonsense, so yeah, there was a study, and we got some tweets about it, fake news feels less immoral to share if we've seen it before. And that, you know, I guess people in this day and age share everything. So we were talking about this off air. We see stuff all the time that we're intelligent people. We may question, but you know what? Sometimes things slip through the cracks. It looks like a real news site.
Right.
And so they actually experimented with 2,500 people, a London business school professor, and a PhD student at the University of Southern Cal, found that seeing a fake headline just once from someone they know leads people to feel a little bit more comfortable with sharing, even if they know that's fake news.
I think that's the stupidest thing I've ever
Right. Because I guess if it fits your agenda, that it's okay?
I mean, I guess so. It also depends on what kind of news it is. If it's political and it can't be proven false or not false or true, whatever, that's, I guess. But like I was saying last night, I saw something come up. We're sitting around and something flashed up on my friend's phone that said, Will Smith and Jaden Smith die in car crash with collision with truck, right? So my friend's like, oh my God, is that real? Is that real? So I went on CNN and it wasn't on, like, on my Twitter feed, and it wasn't there. And I kept refreshing. And
it would
like,
be all over the place.
Yeah, I'm like, no, that's not real. But why the hell would you share that? You know what I mean? Let's like, that's
I don't know what the point is.
But so that's something that can be proven or disproved. Right. So that would be stupid to share. But I mean, I guess if it's something, like you said, a political opinion that fits your agenda or something, and it's not like factual or not factual, it's just basically like information that could or could not be true.
Yeah.
I guess you would be fine to retweet it or forward an email or I don't know. But I guess that's why people feel okay with it. But I think we're in a society where people are okay with lying all of a sudden.
Right.
And they have less integrity. And I think the president has zero integrity. He lies his ass off. Like, that's what he does best. And he set a precedent for people that it's okay to lie. I'm not blaming everything on him.
Yeah, I mean, all politicians lie. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah, but he's like, he's the primo.
It's challenging with him because he may have strong economic and national security policies, but it's the constant, like, I don't know. I feel like we haven't covered a president to the extent that we've covered Trump. I don't remember under the Obama administration there being constant, like, every 2 seconds there's a new top story.
No, you're right.
You know, and look, he is a master of controlling information. It's what he's done his entire life.
I think a lot of this, I have to say, is based on his past behavior. I think politicians, when they do get into a place of power, they do lie. They definitely do to fit their own narrative and whatever works for them. But I think he's just been lying forever. Because, like, if you ask anybody that's had any
to get tabloid headlines and all that,
anything, like, just how he handled himself in business, personal relationships, I think 1 out of 10 would tell you that he's a good person, which is sad, but true. But I think that's why people hawk him now about his lying, because he's just a known liar.
And I think people see that, and everyone's got flaws. His flaws are on the national stage. And
but
I think
can never
people
admit his flaws.
Right. And see, people
that's
see
the problem.
That. It's just whether or not that you, like, it can put that personality aside and vote for its policies. But yeah, the personality disorder, whatever the hell's going on there, can certainly be
definitely
irritating.
A disorder.
Right.
But that, whether you want to believe it or not, plays into his decision making, because if you're too prideful to admit that you're wrong, or you're too prideful to take somebody's you know, advice or something like that, you're going to make wrong and bad decisions.
Well,
over
look
and
how
over
different
again.
George W. Bush was. I mean, very emotional, and he would be the first to admit if he's wrong, listens to everybody. You feel like, especially as he's taking incoming, Trump is not going to, you know, not going to apologize. And he's, in fact, digging his heels in further as this
That's
whole
what I mean.
Impeachment
like
thing
a
goes
kid,
on.
Like an impetuous, like he just, you know, it's silly because everybody knows and he like won't give up the ghost. And that's what is so unappealing about him, I think, to most people.
So we got a tweet. Nick Rhodes tweeted this in response to the question about fake news and whether it feels less immoral. He says, sadly, some people don't realize a lie is a lie anymore if they have it repeated often enough. Mm-hmm. It was a strategy used by the Nazis, it was true. It was also a pillar of gaslighting a person to believing something that goes against his or her beliefs and values. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a point. I mean, if you repeat something and you say, well, you know, no quid pro quo, no quid pro quo, people are going to believe it. No collusion.
Yeah, it's like
I just use that as an example,
dogs.
But anything.
You know, if you hear the bell enough, you're going to come running for the food. So I laughed at the Steve Carullo guy. Who's the bigger idiot, the person who created the fake news or the idiot who knows it's fake news and forwards the fake news?
Yeah.
Plenty of idiocy to go around. That's true.
Very valid. So, speaking of idiocy.
Yeah, AOC. So she thinks that she's right, saying that not having Amazon here was a good thing for Manhattan. And she's waiting on the haters to apologize.
Right. So Amazon last week signed a lease for a new office space in New York City, 1,500 employees. Now, she squashed a deal, or one of the people leading to squash a deal. And I love how, because you see the faction among Republicans, but when you see the faction among Democrats, I mean, I kind of sit back and laugh because you don't see it too often. But like Governor Cuomo, Mayor de Blasio, who are always in fights, and vehemently disagree with each other, both want an Amazon to come here. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who represents the socialist wing of the party, thought, oh, this is corporate welfare, we're giving them tax breaks, but it would bring 25,000 jobs to the city. So for 1,500 employees, she's praising that, this recent lease, but it's going to Hudson Yards, which, by the way, is the only reason why Hudson Yards exists in New York City is because of tax breaks. And look at any stadium across the country. It's because of tax breaks. No one's going to invest in your city or your country if you tax them up the wazoo.
Right, especially if you have shitty-ass weather like we do.
Right.
And a dirty city like we do right now from de Blasio. So what's the upside of being here? Yes, you're in the financial district of the world and all that, the hub of whatever. But there are not many pluses to New York. It's dirty, yeah. It's loud, the weather stinks, and the taxes are exorbitant. So what are we doing here?
I know.
She's a moron. And so that's why I want to talk about something akin to her bananas. So did you see at Art Basel, someone like duct taped a banana to the wall and it sold for $120,000.
Yeah. And like I ignored the story when I first saw it. I was like, whatever, this is nonsense. Then I realized it'd probably be good for the podcast. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, how the hell? So it's literally a banana.
Something happened.
The artist ended up eating the banana, and he goes, well, it's just the idea of the banana. So an idea sold for $120,000. It's literally a banana with duct tape.
So what did the person buy? Duct tape?
I guess. I mean, what an idiot. Who spends that? $120,000?
At the end of the day, art is... If you want to come to my house, I have a ton of it because my kids just swipe stuff on pages and it's like hung up all
over my
house.
Hopefully they're not on Tinder.
No.
Swiping left and right.
No, they're not swiping that. They're swiping a paintbrush.
Oh.
And so I have just abstract, crazy pieces of art all over my house. But people actually sell that stuff. That's why I never understood modern art. Like I get art that you actually have to make something that's recognizable.
And right, like a challenging thing. Right.
To like draw a face or a building or something.
I have no art skills.
No, and
I'm terrible.
Can't
even draw a straight line.
My dad did, but I don't. But like just to put colors on a page or something and sell it for a lot of money, I think it's so stupid.
A banana with duct tape over. I mean,
but it's the same thing with wine.
Oh,
dude, you're drinking grape juice that's been fermented, and I get the whole thing, and you know, it all tastes different and all this, but like. It's at the end of the day, it's Welch's times 50 years that's, you know, sat in a glass
right.
bottle.
Like I was at a rooftop party last night or a holiday party and I have a glass of Merlot and it's like, whatever, something special. I mean, I didn't pay for it, so luckily. But it was like, it's a glass of wine. I don't, people are like, oh, well, this wine's a little dry and like, come on.
I mean, there's
a
bad
freaking glass
wine,
of wine.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, there's bad wine,
that
but
you're gonna get a free, like a monster headache.
You don't
from.
Have to spend $100,000 for a bottle.
No,
of wine.
You can get a really good bottle of wine for $20.
I know. Tell me about it.
That's the deal.
What's your favorite wine?
I lived on Franzia boxed wine. Okay, in college. what's my favorite wine? So I'm not
before
really,
Anthony dunked somebody in the toilet.
Yeah, I'm not really a wine guru, but I recently at Thanksgiving had this thing called Conundrum.
Never heard of it.
It was a Sauvignon Blanc. It was a white wine. It was absolutely delicious. You should look up Conundrum. Okay. And it's very, very reasonable. So And I'm in a conundrum because I got to get out of here because I got to go get my hair done. So
do I.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
You want to come with me? So
yeah, be like Anthony and you on a date.
Oh my God. I don't even know Anthony anymore. He's not around. He's working too much.
So Anthony's been working out a lot. Is he like, does he have exercise equipment in the house?
Yeah, we have a little gym.
You have a gym?
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of equipment? You have a Peloton in there? You do. Mm-hmm. If Anthony got you, you know where I'm going with this. Yeah. If Anthony got you a Peloton for Christmas, would you be offended by that?
He did get me that. And he got me that the Christmas.
No underwear, no thong.
Yeah. That's how he works out on it.
I'm sure he does.
He got me that in Christmas of 2017 when I just let him back inside the house and he bought me a Peloton.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But I honestly didn't take it as.
But he meant it.
I think he
was
just trying to help me because he's like, this way you don't have to drive to SoulCycle, which he was trying to make my life easier.
Right. So, but did you take offense to that?
No.
So
I took offense when he bought me a computer and a free printer that came with it.
Well, that's a little different when you're dating and you get somebody a freaking printer.
With a free.
I mean, what do you think?
No, it was a laptop that came with a free printer. I was like, what? Anyway.
That's a pretty good deal, I gotta say. But that's bad for dating
somebody. Someone else.
But this commercial drew like outrage on social media because the guy got his wife a Peloton.
I mean, it is a little bit ridiculous.
It's like a commercial.
Imagine I like there was a commercial where I bought Anthony like
a thong.
Or like sock for his front of his underwear or something. You know
what
I'm saying?
What is the skin product that I use?
You know what I'm saying? It's like, right. It's a little bit, I'm not like one of these like burn your bra people or whatever, but I think it's like a little stupid.
I know.
I mean,
burn your bra? I never heard that.
Oh, you never heard of that?
No. That's a saying?
From like the 60s, you know. The
I love boobs.
Lib. Yeah. So,
so do I.
I am not a women's lib person, but I just think it's like, all right, dude. Like the
get
woman,
a life.
Yeah. The woman can buy her own Peloton or not, but she doesn't need you to give it to her.
Right.
Unless she asked you for it.
Well, she could do her own thing. She's an independent woman.
Exactly. Just ask Beyonce.
Right.
All right, so.
Don't need no man.
Nope. All right, so Mooch is back next week, I think.
Yes.
I don't know.
And you're going to go over holiday items. That's what Anthony wants
to
do.
Yeah, we want to make lists of like the 5 or 7 best things we think we should be giving our significant other, our friends, our family members, whatever. We'll do a guy's list, a girl's list, and have some fun.
Bring your pen and pad.
Yep. And that's it. So we'll see you next Tuesday. See you next Tuesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.